This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
I can't believe I'm saying this. This episode is brought to you by Lola V, an award-winning hair care line by the one and only Jennifer Aniston. Why did Jennifer Aniston start a hair care company? Because she was tired of choosing between hair products that work and hair products that are actually good for us. But thanks to Lola V, we never have to choose again. No silicones, no sulfates, parabens, or gluten. And of course, it's cruelty-free and vegan. The Glossing Detangler and Perfect Conditioner are my personal favorites. Not only do they repair the look of damaged hair, but they also shield it from future harm. The first step to unlocking confidence in your dating life and your daily life is feeling confident about your hair. So unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair at LolaV.com. And as listeners of Seeing Other People, you're getting an exclusive 15% off of your entire order when you use code Seeing Other People at checkout. That's 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com with promo code Seeing Other People. Please note you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. After your purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please, please, please support Seeing Other People and let them know that I sent you. You guys are in for a treat because support for today's episode comes from the best of the best, Jenny Kane. And yes, there is a discount, so keep on listening. You know that feeling when you get a new sweater and it instantly becomes basically another layer of your skin? Like you wear it everywhere, for everything, all the time. Okay, well, Jenny Kane has become my literal uniform. And if you don't know Jenny Kane, I'm pretty much about to change your life because Jenny Kane's clothes did that to mine. Jenny Kane is a California brand with luxurious staples that will transform your closet. Think minimalist and effortless, but totally refined. They have the coziest cashmere sweaters and iconic accessories that will elevate your everyday basics. I don't know if I wear my cashmere fisherman hoodie or my cropped cashmere cocoon cardigan more. All I know is that I cannot live without either of them. Whether it's a cozy night in with the girls, a dinner date with Jake, or catching a flight to Florida to see my parents, these sweaters are perfect for every single occasion, and I couldn't be happier when I'm wearing them because I'm so comfy. And you guys know me, I always choose comfort over how something looks, but with Jenny Kane, I don't have to choose because I get comfort and I get style. All right, so we have the discount code coming for you. Find your new uniform at jennykane.com. Seeing Other People listeners get 15% off their first order when you use code SOP at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at jennykane.com, promo code SOP, S-O-P. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about. Hey guys, it's Alana and welcome back to another episode of Seeing Other People. Together, we're navigating modern dating alongside experts and real-life daters who are sharing their stories. Don't have a date for tonight? No problem. Come learn, laugh, and maybe even cry along with us as we navigate the dating scene together. Oh my God, you guys, I am so, so, so excited for today's episode. Everybody, welcome Talia Corin onto Seeing Other People. Talia, I'm so excited to have you.
I'm so excited to be here. I mean, you are one of the people I've absolutely looked up to as I've like been kind of starting off in this dating world, dating Instagram and podcasting world. So everything, like watching your journey, especially last year, like all the milestones you had was so inspiring. Like, I was like, get it, Alana. Yes. So I don't know. Yeah, I'm so excited to be here.
And I feel the same about you. I feel like, first of all, congratulations on all of your success. I feel like you are helping so many people and that must feel so rewarding. But every single time I've seen you post something, for as long as like we've known of each other, I'm just like shaking my head like yes, like nodding along like yes, like Talia gets it. So I feel like anyone listening right now who is unfamiliar with you, like I'm so excited that we get to introduce them to you. And hopefully some of your audience comes and listens to this as well. But I'm just, I feel like you and I have so many similar mindsets and there's so much that you're not afraid to say. And there's so much that you learned in your own journey. So I'm so excited to dive in. I don't know how many times I've said that I'm excited, but I'm excited if you couldn't tell.
We can't tell. Yeah, we are.
Yes. Okay. So a lot to talk about. First, I want to start with, okay, I was gonna dive in, but guys, Talia just got engaged, so we can't not start with that. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, and you were key in the, in like keeping me sane a couple of days before he popped the question, which I did not know was coming. I reached out to you, and I was like, I remember you had that reel where you were like, okay, I think I'm getting engaged today. And I knew it was coming, and I asked you, I'm like, did – like waking up that morning and kind of having that feeling ruin it for you. And you're like, no, I love that it's going to happen. And like, you gave me this whole pep talk and I was like, okay. And then it happened and I actually had no idea that was the day.
That's so fun. And it's like, even if you know like the week or the month, like it almost doesn't matter because in the moment it's like, was it not the most surreal thing you've ever experienced?
Yes, it was. It was so perfect. Like I couldn't have planned it better myself. Like,
how did he do it?
So we live in Mountain View, which is like in the South Peninsula, South Bay. I don't know. I'm new here. Okay. And I'm from New York. And we drove down to Santa Cruz, which is something we do like once a month. Like it's a normal kind of like, oh, it's a Sunday. Like we have nothing to do. Let's just drive to Santa Cruz. My fiance went to school there and I love it there. It's like a beachy town. So we like do our normal routine. Again, I got dressed that day, like kind of trying, but not, you know, like I had no idea. And then after our routine, we like went over to these like cliffs where it's like the beach and there's usually surfers there. We wanted to like see the surfers and check out that area. And like, we were taking pictures of me, which is very normal. Again, all very normal stuff. Like I had in my head, I'm like, this would be a great place to propose. Yep. And then he gets down on one knee, like, and I'm like, you're joking, because throughout, we've been talking about rings for months. We've been talking about this and getting engaged for like 8 months. It's been a very drawn out process. So he would joke, like we were in Central Park and he like pretended, like he'd get down on one knee and pretend. So I was like, you're joking. And yeah, and then he got the ring out and in my excitement, I knocked the ring out of his hands. Like we're on a cliff.
No.
Like, it fell in the bushes. Longest moment of my life. I like saw where it went out of the corner of my eye, but it felt like a very long moment, but I like picked it up, gave it back to him, he put it on my finger, a tear on my finger.
That is terrifying. Anytime I see somebody propose like on a boat or next to a body of water, I'm like, how? I could not. Or even I know somebody who proposed on a ski mountain, and I know a lot of people do that. I'm like, if you drop that in the snow, you're not finding it.
Gone. Especially on like a cloudy day. No, forget it. Yeah. So it was a little wild. People were cheering for us. I wonder if they like saw me knock it out of his hand. But no, then we like went to a winery and it was just like, it was amazing. It was perfect. And then I also proposed back to him with a ring the following weekend. I had my own plan.
And, what, you know, made you want to do that?
I've been thinking about it for a while. It's just like, I don't understand why when you're engaged, like only women wear a symbol of that. And it's like, why don't guys, like, I want people to know he's taken too. Like,
I agree.
You know? So, like, he's off the market too. Yeah. And I just, like, I thought about a watch, but I read that watches are bad luck for some reason. Yeah.
Oops.
I'm not that superstitious, but I don't want to chance it, you know? So I picked out a ring that's kind of, like, casual. It doesn't look like a traditional wedding band. It looks more like, it could be, like, just a fashion choice, you know? And he'll pick out a wedding band when we're doing that. But yeah.
Did he know that you were going to plan to do that?
I did tell him literally like 10 minutes before he proposed. I was like, I'm just going to tell him. I should have waited. Like, I really should have waited. But I just, like, I was like, oh, like, I want to even the playing field. I hate this anticipation.
Right. You want to make him feel a little of the, it's not pain, but it, in a way it is. But it's like, and nice, it's pain.
It's just the anticipation. And you know, it's funny because his reaction was like, very low key, and I didn't realize he was like trying to muster up the courage to propose to me at that moment.
You know? Yeah, I mean, we've never been funny. I guess you now have been put in that position. Like, was it nerve-wracking for you, or because you knew that he knew that you were going to do it, you were like, I already know. It's not like he's gonna say no. Like, I already said yes.
I still felt like that feeling when you're about to go on stage, you know what I mean, that like rush, you know. Absolutely. I was definitely nervous, even though, yeah, like, yeah, it was a sure thing. Yeah, so highly recommend to anyone who is thinking about it. I think it's a really nice gesture, and like, it's like guys want something to show off too, you know. It's like, yeah, it's all about the ring, and then what do guys get?
True. I mean, we're about to start shopping for our wedding bands, but like, maybe, yay, I'll surprise you, yeah, with something before.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. So it was great. I'm really excited. You know, we dated for a year and a half and we met on Hinge. So to anyone listening, you know, I know you met Jake on Hinge. Yes. Like, Hinge
can work. It can work.
It can work.
Somebody sent in a question that we're not going to answer this because it's just, this is not a question that we should be answering less than 2 weeks after getting engaged. But someone said, what are your current wedding plans? And I empower you to not think about those for like at least a month, because I didn't do that. Oops. And I wish I did. No!
I already booked a venue.
Shut up.
Yeah, no. Because we want to get married this year. like in this calendar year. So I'm like, let's just do it. I was like, you know what? Yeah, I know. I feel it, but I couldn't. I was like, I've been thinking about this for so long. And, yeah. You know, he was very like, he didn't want to talk about wedding planning until we were engaged, which I get. So I've been like, it's like I've been holding back all this time. Like I've been like, don't look at photographers. Don't research venues. Okay, now you can. You can finally
now,
do it.
Yeah,
so,
now. Okay, yeah. Fine. Hit the ground. We
are going to do a very different wedding. We're doing like a small family only ceremony, basically an elopement. And then a reception the next day at a brewery. So nothing, no traditional like venues here. Yeah.
Got it. Polar opposite of mine. And I love it for you.
Yeah. No, I'm excited.
I wish in hindsight that I did that.
Your wedding is going to be so amazing. Like seriously, you're going to love it. So you're doing it in New York, right? Like
in Westchester somewhere. Where we both grew up. Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. Love it.
It'll be great. Okay. So. You are known as Dating Intentionally. Maybe you're not known as that. You're Talia, but your account is Dating Intentionally. Your podcast is Dating Intentionally. What does dating intentionally mean to you? And why is that what you initially decided? Like, hey, I'm going to create a page about this and talk about this.
Yeah, it means like knowing what you want and your actions aligning with that. So dating intentionally doesn't necessarily mean dating intentionally for a relationship. Like if you want something casual, that also you can date intentionally for casual, right? It's just whatever you really want in your heart of hearts, you are making decisions that support that. So like if you want a relationship, you are not pursuing the situationship, right? You're not chasing that. You are going to be like, nope, that is not aligned with what I'm looking for. I'm going to go in this direction instead. So that's basically what I would define as dating intentionally. And I started it because after my breakup, I dated someone for 6 years and we lived together and everything. We broke up. I realized like when I was 23 entering that relationship, I was the opposite of dating intentionally. We met on OkCupid, again, dating app success, I would call that. And, you know, I just swiped on him because he was hot and I thought he was into snowboarding because he had one snowboarding picture. But that was his only time when snowboarding was funny.
That's what, you know what? I get so mad at people. Not so mad, but like my brother has a photo of him holding my dog in his profile. And I'm like, no, you're catfishing people. Like,
yes.
You don't have a dog and you're also kind of allergic to dogs. So girls are going to think that you are a dog lover and that's your dog and that's why they're going to match with you. And neither of those things are true.
Yeah. No, don't. It's like, yeah, it's like not my dog, but come on. We know it's like clickbait. It's swipe bait.
Yes.
So it was swipe bait for me. Like I, you know, got that. And so, yeah, I've gotten into this relationship, not knowing my needs, not thinking about what I really wanted, really just like trying to make it into something I hoped it would be, but it was like the wrong person. So coming out of that relationship at 29, I was like, I'm going to do it differently. I was already crystal clear what I needed. And then I decided to like shape my entire dating experience around my needs. And that is how I got here. Oh, well, I started the account because a couple of months into my dating journey, I realized none of my other single friends were having fun. I'm like, why am I the only one having fun here? Like, what's going on? So that's why I started the account.
You guys know that I struggle with confidence. I'm always my biggest critic, and when I notice something about myself that I don't like, I can't stop fixating on it. I'm working on all of this, but it can be hard. A year ago, I noticed that my hair was thinning, and I was finding more and more strands of hair on the floor every time I would walk around my apartment. When I would look down in the shower, I would freak out at what I saw in the drain. That's when I opened up to my best friend, who happens to be a doctor, and she said two things that changed my life. The first was that she knows so many women our age going through the same thing. The second is that she told me to try Nutrafol. And so I did. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. A year later and a month before my wedding, and I cannot believe the number of people who have been complimenting how long, strong, and healthy my hair looks. I never imagined that this would happen. And naturally, as a result, my confidence has transformed. I'm no longer self-conscious when it comes to my hair. And honestly, that is a huge, huge, huge personal win for me. And you guys know I'm hilariously bad at sticking with habits and taking something every day or doing something every day. But with Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. You purchase online with no prescription required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure that you'll never miss a day. You'll see results in 3 to 6 months, and trust me, it is worth the wait. You can start so easily by taking their hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering the Seeing Other People family $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code Seeing Other People. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Seeing Other People. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Seeing Other People. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. When I first started Seeing Other People, some of my closest friends and family could not believe it. Not because they didn't think I was capable of being a podcast host, but because I usually can't get through a sentence without sniffling. And during allergy season, forget about it. My seasonal allergies are debilitating, and my sinus congestion and pressure has always left me feeling so sick. But luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Claritin D has truly transformed my life. Not only can I breathe better and sleep better since taking Claritin D, but I also can get through the day so much smoother. I used to have to cancel plans because of how bad my allergies were. I'd go through a tissue box a week, sometimes more, and my eyes were always watery. But Claritin D's fast symptom relief starts working on allergies with nasal congestion in as little as 30 minutes, and it tackles nasal congestion caused by allergies or a cold, and also relieves sinus congestion and pressure due to allergies. It's truly the greatest thing I've ever come across, and I am so grateful that I found it and started using it. Are you ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. What do you think it was that you were doing differently than them? Because I think that's a really interesting insight that you were like, oh, like I'm enjoying this. I'm having a good time. And everyone else seems miserable. Like this is a shithole that they have to deal with.
Yeah. I want to acknowledge the privilege of dating in Seattle, right? It's dating on easy mode for women, like straight women. There are more single men than women there. And they're all like, you know, tech company, like they're into outdoorsy stuff. Like I think they're all really attractive. Like it's pretty easy to date there compared to New York, which I think is really tough, and like DC and some East Coast locations. So I wanted to say that, but I think I had fun because I just like, I knew what I needed. I wasn't going to settle for anything less. And I just wanted to explore. Like I trusted that I would find my person because I had been in relationships before. Like I can do it again. Getting into a relationship, I think, is somewhat easy, but getting into a relationship with the right person is really hard. So like, yes. So that yes. was why I was having fun. It was like, I'm just going to treat this like an experiment. I liked testing dating advice from podcasts like yours, right? I was like trying out, like I listened to You Up and other podcasts. I'm like, okay, they said this, like, let me just try that. Like I would just try different things. It was fun.
You were really experimenting and I applaud you for doing that. And I think that's something that I would encourage more people to do. I think it's very difficult when there are so many different dating podcasts and dating experts and influencers, and every other book is a self-help dating relationships book, how to find your person. And it can be really difficult when there's so much noise. And I'm not saying it's all just noise. Like a lot of it is really good advice, but not every piece of advice is going to work for you. And so it can be really confusing to hear all of these things, to see all of these things, to read all of these things, and be able to determine what you should actually do. And there are going to be pieces of advice that completely don't work for you. And then there will be others from the same people or different people that really do work. So I think that's something that everyone can benefit from, is really testing it out and saying, oh, like, okay, I heard this thing. I'm not sure how that lands for me, but let's try it out and see how I feel. And then maybe I'll try it again or I won't.
Right. Exactly. And it's like that. It's a very low stakes way of dating, right? Yeah. It just feels, I think that's another reason why I had fun. I just wasn't like, I'm 29 or I'm 30. Like, I need to like find someone. I knew that it would work out. And even if it, I was ready to be single for like years and years, honestly.
Really?
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I met my fiance, Johnny, in the, like, a year after my breakup. But I was fully ready to be single for another couple of years, like, at least. Yeah.
Wow. What do you think it was once you finally went from, like, enjoying singlehood to then being in that place where you did meet Johnny, or you did decide that you wanted to not just enjoy being single, but move towards maybe not dating intentionally, but dating with the intent of finding a partner?
So when I left my relationship, like, it took me a solid 6 to 8 months to get over it. And I will say I was doing like some of that work in the relationship. Like, I definitely let it drag on like a little too long. I knew I was going to leave him, that kind of thing. So I worked my ass off, like, on getting over him, like, therapy, books, like, everything, like, solo trips, like, you name it, I did it. Yeah. So I would say the shift was when I first started dating, like, exploring, knowing I had nothing to give. I didn't want to work on it with someone. That was like the phase one of, like, I'm dating people, but I know these are going to be short, kind of 3-4 date things with each person, because I don't want to work on it. I don't want to get over the ick. I don't want to, like, you know, work on accepting them and, like, figure it out. Then after a year, because I wanted to be single for a whole year, that was my goal, I was like, okay, I feel like I have the mental and emotional space to work on it, to, like, okay, this kind of, like, oh, noticing these, like, weird little things, like, quirks about someone and accepting them instead of being like, no, next. Like, you know, I honestly think sometimes getting turned off is a choice.
100%.
Yeah.
Completely agree, because I think there are certain things where if you see someone or hear someone do something or say something that doesn't really land, like, if you like other things about them, you're going to choose to, like, ignore it. We ignore shit like that all the time. But if you're already, like, 1 foot out the door and they say something, you're slamming the door shut.
Yep. Yeah. And there were times, like, before, when I was still, like, kind of working through moving on from my ex, like, I did try. Like, I had a 2-monther and I had a 1-monther with someone. And, like, when I had the 1-month thing, I just knew, like, I'm like, you know what? I'm not done exploring. Like, I just, like, he was a little, like, there were some quirks I wasn't super into, but, like, nothing, if I really liked him, like, I probably could have pushed past it for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. We can let those things slide when we
want okay. to. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So where were you at in your dating life when you and Johnny met?
So at that point, it was like a year after. It was really interesting. So, little, like, tea here, I had met someone before Johnny that I really liked. I dated 64 people in 10 months. So this was date number 50. This guy, I really liked him. Oh my God.
And this 64 people in 10 months is separate from your 200 in less than a year?
No, it's the same thing. It's not 200 people, 200 dates.
200 dates.
Yeah. So that with 64 people.
Numerically
more
reasonable. 200
in a year is... Yeah, no. Cool. So this guy, literally liked him, and we were everything was going great, right? Like, we deleted the apps, like, the whole thing. And then I had not told him about my Instagram and I didn't have a podcast at that point, but I was going to tell him, 100% going to tell him. It just didn't really, like, come up. I don't know why. And then someone on Instagram, like, found him and told him and, like, sent him screenshots of the positive things I was saying about him on my Instagram, because I would, like, talk about my dates.
So a rando.
Yeah. And look, there were mistakes made. Like, my profile was public. My personal profile was public. His was public. We were following each other. Like, it was very obvious, like, who he was, mm-hmm. if you were looking.
Yeah.
And he ended it with me because of that, which, like, again, valid. Like, I understand that. And I tried to, like, fix it, but ultimately I had to, you know, that one got away. But honestly, it's fine.
Worked.
I mean,
for the best.
Yeah. But so, like, when I met Johnny, it was right after that. So then I was telling everyone, like, on the apps or, like, on the first date or when I was texting them, that I had this Instagram.
Hey, there's this thing I do.
Exactly. So I did learn my lesson. And I met. So after that happened and I, like, moved on, I set up, like, 7 first dates in a week. And Johnny was one of them. So
what number was he?
56.
What number was he that week?
Oh, he was okay. I don't remember, but like I had a date. So we had a virtual date because he wasn't in Seattle yet. He was like moving there. He had a job and apartment already. So I knew he was like for sure moving there. But I had a date right after. So I like got ready for that date and then did the virtual date with him right before.
Oh my God. Was it like, was that connection there on the first virtual date? Like, did you go into the your in-person date after being like thinking about him? Or was it just like, okay, that's fine. I'll meet him maybe.
I literally thought I would never hear from him again. Like, and it's not because it wasn't a good chat. It just like thought like, okay, this guy's moving to Seattle. He's probably setting up so many of these virtual dates or like he's probably talking to other people or whatever. You know, when people move, like things fall apart. Like it just, you never know. You can't be sure. And that's why I really hope like people don't get attached to things, like especially on a first date. Like you never know really where it's going to go. So no, I didn't expect to hear from him, but he kept texting me. We had like 2 video calls and like 2 phone calls in like a month. And we were texting a little bit. Then he finally got here and we had our actual like in-person first date. And even then I was like, I think that like I was expecting him to want to meet other people. You just moved to a new city, you know? Don't you want to see other? And he like, no. He was like, no, I'm good.
Well, you know, and that's, that goes to show like we assume so many things about people and we put words into their mouths and thoughts into their head that might not at all be the situation. I find that happening a lot with this situation. It's like, oh, well, I just met them, but they just moved here. So like, there's no way they want to settle down. It's like, maybe, but maybe not. You don't know, and don't decide that for them. Brave the uncomfortable. Those are the words engraved on my bracelet that have gotten me through some of the most anxiety-inducing moments over the last few years. And that's why I could not be more excited to encourage you all to get a Presently bracelet of your own with a phrase that resonates with you. Presently is a line of mindfulness bracelets engraved with words inspired by cognitive behavioral therapy. The brand was started by 2 sisters, Lindsay and Emily, who have obsessive-compulsive disorder, aka OCD, and anxiety. They realized that when stuck in an anxiety spiral, it's hard to put into practice the tools that they learned in therapy sessions. They looked and looked for bracelets that could serve as reminders to interrupt that spiral, but they couldn't find anything besides the cheesy good vibes only and no bad days types of messaging. They started Presently to bring more authenticity to self-help anxiety management. And as someone who has had a Presently bracelet for 3 years, I mean it when I say it really makes a difference. So whether you need encouragement to make it onto that date that you've been anxious about, a calming mantra to get you through a big day at work, or simply a reminder that you're not alone, Presently has your back. Their bracelets are so beautiful and elevated, and they also make amazing gifts. And I know because I have gifted a few over the years, and my friends were so excited to get one and have worn them ever since. There are 6 phrases to choose from. And if you're indecisive, there's a quiz that you can take to help you choose the perfect reminder for your anxiety. Plus, 5% of each bracelet is donated to your choice of 4 mental health nonprofits. I wholeheartedly love and support Presently, and I know that your Presently bracelet will bring you as much comfort as mine has brought me. So head to presentlybracelets.com. That's PRESENTLY bracelets.com for 10% off your order using code SEEINGOTHERPEOPLE. Raise your hand if you have dating anxiety. All right. I know that everyone has their hands up. And I get it. I had debilitating anxiety when I was single. And even when I first started dating Jake, I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I know that is not a good way to feel, and that is not a fun way to date. And I get it. It can be hard to find an anxiety relief tactic that works for you. That's why I'm so excited to introduce you to a new one that has helped me dramatically with my wedding and work stress and anxiety over the last few months. And trust me, there's been a lot of it. Sunset Lake CBD is an amazing company that not only has helped me feel so much better, but they also have a really cool history and mission. Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. As farmers, they believe in providing only top-shelf CBD and hemp products at fair prices. So they cut out the middlemen and they ship their CBD straight from their farm to your door, which means that their CBD is affordable and trusted because CBD and anxiety relief can help everyone and they want it to be accessible to anyone. Trust me when I say that when I'm stressed or anxious, my sleep is the first thing to go. But despite everything I have going on right now, I've been taking a sleep gummy before bed bed, and my sleep scores on my Oura Ring have been through the roof. Plus, I'm finding myself relaxing more at night and being able to turn off my work brain and my anxiety with the help of their CBD gummy bears and reishi-infused chews. Whether you want to sleep better, relax better, focus better, recover better, or anything in between, Sunset Lake CBD has something for everyone. So check them out today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use code SOP for 20% off your order. That's code SOP for 20% off. Farmer-owned, Vermont-grown Sunset Lake CBD. Do you feel like you're at a crossroads in your love life? Maybe you're in the thick of modern dating, or you're wondering if the person you're with is your person. Whatever your situation, I have the perfect podcast for you. It's called Dateable, your insider's look into modern dating, hosted by Julie Krafcik and Yue Xu. They talk about it all, from why you're choosing the wrong partner and how to stop, to how to actually go from matching on the app to getting on a date, to securing your anxious attachment, and everything in between. Julie and Yue have been on Seeing Other People, and I've been a guest on their podcast too, so if you're looking for a great starting point, check out my episode of Dateable, season 15, episode 10, Is It Chemistry or Anxiety? Guys, this podcast is incredibly relatable, insightful, and oftentimes hilarious. Wherever you start, Dateable will help you feel inspired to date differently and create a love life that works for you. You can subscribe and listen to episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts every Wednesday and Sunday. So check out Dateable and thank me later.
Right. Exactly. And I know, like, he was also pretty persistent. Like, I remember watching, seeing content about your story with Jake, and didn't he follow up on Hinge? Like,
yeah.
So it was similar to that. Like, he kind of was following up and like being very persistent, but in a respectful way. And I think that is why I was letting it happen in a way, mm-hmm. even though I'm like, I'm not sure about this. Like, I don't know if I like him yet, but I was like, but he's very easy to talk to, respectful, persistent, but not in a creepy, clingy way.
Yeah, it wasn't off-putting. It was just like, he's like into me.
Yeah, he's just consistent. So by the time we had our third, I didn't really feel I don't call it a spark. I call it a click. It's like, the click can happen platonically too. You know what I mean? Like with a friend. It's like, it's like, did we just become best friends? Like that kind of moment. So I felt the click on the third date of okay, really?
That's what'd awesome. You guys do on your third date?
So we did sushi and then a comedy show. And I can tell you the moment it happened was when we were waiting in the bar to get into the room for the comedy show, like where you know. So we were just waiting, and I just felt like that I felt drawn to him. Like, I'm like, I like the way you're looking at me right now. You know, like that kind of, it like turned on. I was like, okay.
Now you get to see him look at you that way forever.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so there was a question that came in from a listener, and I'm really excited to hear your response to this because I think it does relate to your story and you guys meeting. So somebody wrote, I went on one date with a really nice guy, and we have so many similar interests, but I'm not really physically attracted to him. He's not my usual type. Should I go on a second date?
Yes. If you had a good time, like if the conversation flowed enough, if you are even a little bit curious to get to know him more, yes. Yeah. If you're on the fence, just go. Yeah. That was my default.
Yeah. I think so too. I think unless you like really don't want to go, why not? Like it doesn't have to be that deep. It's like, do you want to hang out with this person again or not? It's pretty simple if you think about it.
Yeah, exactly. You're not signing. It's not marriage. Yeah. Just second date. Yeah.
When it comes to someone's usual type, what are your thoughts and experience with, should you stay within that type? Or if someone's not your type, like, should you give them a chance?
Yeah. My fiance is like, was not my historical type. Like in my dating history, I went for more like clean shaven, clean cut, short hair, maybe like light color hair guys, like stocky. He's like gangly, tall, long red hair and a big red beard, you know, like totally different look. But it's like you can know someone is attractive, like, okay, that is a good looking human being, and not, you don't necessarily have to be attracted, like feel desire to go on a date with them. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying like dating outside your type doesn't mean date people you think are ugly. Mm-hmm. It just means like, okay, like this person is a decent looking person. You know, fine. They're not what I usually go for, but that should not hold you back. Like, I think our types actually hold us back a lot from potentially amazing people.
Absolutely. I mean, whether or not people want to admit it, for the most part, when you're swiping on an app, as much as you want to try and look at prompts and bios, like, you are judging someone based off of their looks, and immediately it's like, oh, that person's not my type. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Not even giving them 1% of a chance.
On the apps, I think having an open mind is so, so, so important. It's because of, like, on one hand, it's because you can't fit your entire personality in 6 photos and 3 little sentences.
Facts.
You know, no one can. And secondly, like, because all these things can happen between sending a message and, like, getting to a date, like, right. They are overwhelmed. They're not answering. They're, like, whatever, something happens and you don't like. Like, you need to swipe on a lot of people to just get to the date, because that funnel, you know?
Yeah. You also have to give people grace. Like, if someone's not responding to you for a day or two, like, it's not personal.
No, it's really not.
It's really not. Yeah. And if someone says something that, like, rubs you the wrong way, or you're like, oh, like, they said that in a weird way, like, unless they're, like, being overly sexualized or, like, something that's actually, like, wrong and they shouldn't do, like, don't just write them off. Like, we're all just trying our best here, and we're all, for the most part, out here to, like, make genuine connections with people.
Absolutely. And you know what? With my conversation with Johnny on the apps, it was very dry, very boring, but normal. And that was the green flag. And he did, at the end of that conversation, he got a little flirty. He was, like, calling me cute and stuff. And by at that point, it was appropriate. He didn't lead with that. You know what I mean? Like, it was like we already chatted about, like, books and work and, like, other stuff. So, yeah. So boring is, like, a green flag in a way on an app to me. Because he's also really funny in real life. But his profile and the conversation did not reflect that.
That's why you got to give people a chance. You got to be able to get to know those things. And we're not all our whole personality and selves on an app or even on a first date. Like, it really takes time to peel back those layers for everyone to feel comfortable showing who they are and being themselves. And I know there's not enough hours in the day and not enough nights in the week to get to know everybody, but I really think people write others off way too quickly.
Agree. And when it comes to, like, if you're really focus on attraction, like, you want to, it's like, oh, I can only go on a first date if I feel attracted to them. And it's like, you cannot feel attracted, like, actual desire from a dating app profile. Like, I'm sorry, no. Like, it's not a thing.
You can think someone's hot, but
at
the same time, like, the number of times I've experienced, like, meeting people in real life and then seeing them on an app, in real life, super attracted to them. On the app, oh my God, I would never have swiped right on this person. And vice versa, on the app, pictures super attractive. In person, no.
Yeah, no. Oh my God. I never, like, going out with guys who are really attractive from the apps, and, like, their personalities were horrible.
Yeah.
Yep,
exactly. Okay, so boring and normal can be a good thing. What about the opposite of boring? Still keeping normal when someone is seemingly super interested in you. And I get a ton of questions about this, and I know you've talked about it before, but how can you tell what someone's intentions are when you feel like things are going really well, but you're not sure, like, are they genuinely really interested in you and they really like you? Or, and I know this has been a really big buzzword over the last few years, could they be love bombing you or starting to go there? How can you differentiate and hold yourself accountable for just making sure that this is a good situation to be in?
Yeah, it's, you know, the love bombers are out there. And I would say that love bombing is not always manipulative. It's not always, like, coming from a narcissist. Sometimes it is truly coming from a place of insecurity and needing, like, the external validation of someone being really into you. And, like, the way you get someone into you is by lavish, like, just, like, laying on thick, right? It's like, oh my God, you're so amazing. Like, there are so many different ways someone can love bomb. And so just know that, like, not every love bomber is, like, a raging narcissist. Like, you know, sometimes it's truly just they don't even know they're doing it.
I definitely have a lot of friends who every single guy they date who, like, says or does one thing, quote unquote, wrong, they're, like, immediately, like, why is every guy a narcissist? Like, he's a narcissist. I know it. I'm like, hold on, pause. Like, okay, maybe he's not for you, or maybe that thing didn't sit right with you, but we don't need to jump to conclusions. Maybe they are, but they might not be.
Probably not. I mean, that's, like, as you know, it's, like, a serious, like, thing that gets diagnosed. It's not just, yeah, no. So anyway, how you can tell. What I like to do is to zoom out and look at the facts, look at what's been consistent. Like imagine taking all of their actions and putting them just like written out on a piece of paper. And it's like, you can kind of judge like, okay, how long have I known this person? And are these actions appropriate based on like how long I've known them? You know, and it's like, okay, they brought me flowers on the second date. I wouldn't say that's love bombing. Like that's just maybe sweet. A little over the top, but it's a little bit, but it's sweet. Oh, they bought a plane ticket to Paris on a second date. Probably love bombing right there. Like, you know, like, yeah, not great. So it's like zoom out and really, really reflect on their actions and also take into account, like be accountable to your own reaction. It's like, are you just overwhelmed by this? Even if they're kind of giving an appropriate level of affection, you know what I mean? Like you have to be aware of yourself. And it's like, are you just scared, right? Of how much, like, are you just not used to someone just liking you without you having to earn it, like, you know, without you having to work for it. So that's the question to ask yourself. But I think it's really about like the balance between how long you've known them and what they're doing. And if that lines up.
I'm like laughing to myself. I had a conversation with someone yesterday who like the first half of the conversation was like, all she wants is for somebody to like make plans in advance and like be thoughtful and go out of their way to see her and let them know that they're interested in her. And she's now been on a few dates with this guy who is doing all of these things. And she's like, I just don't like, it's just a lot. Like, I think it's too much. Like, I don't know. Like, it just seems like sus. And I'm like, this is exactly what you just said that you want. This guy is doing all of these things. Like, why can't we accept it for what it is and not turn it into a bad thing?
Yeah, no offense to this person, but you're the sus one. I mean, that would love and kindness, but yes, like that. Yeah. That's why, like, when I was first with Johnny, like, I was like, oh, he's just very persistent, like this is weird, but I didn't run away, you know. It wasn't love bombing. Like, he told me on our fourth date he wanted to be in a relationship with me, and I did not think that was love bombing, because it's like we had known each other for 6 weeks at that point. I'm like, okay, like it's a lot. I didn't give him an answer, but like, okay, that's where he was at. Like, that's not love bombing. If they say that to you on the first or second date, like, yes, like that is definitely a huge red flag.
I like your idea of like, see where the actions are, like, and should they be happening at that point. I've had a few of my male listeners ask, like, they want to show that they're thoughtful and that they're intentional. And I've had some ask me recently, like, is it okay if I bring flowers on the first date? And I actually said, like, listen, like, that is really sweet and thoughtful. But if it were me and a guy brought me flowers on the first date, I actually wouldn't think it was genuine. I would think, well, this is like their play, like this is their bit, this is what they do every time, this is, they're not doing this because they like me, this has nothing to do with me. So I would wait for maybe like the third or the fourth date. And on my fourth date with Jake, we both loved The Bachelor, and we like watched The Bachelor together that night, and he had got me one single rose and gave it to me at the end of the night. He said, will you accept this rose? And like, that was genuine, and that was thoughtful. And so I think like waiting first, like, make sure you actually like the person, and then you can do those small acts of kindness. And I think that will go a long way.
Yes. And that's a key factor of love bombing, is that they are basically, they're not getting to know you. They are trying to get you, right? That's the difference. So they, like, are they, if they're asking questions about you, if they're actually like paying attention to your interests, like The Bachelor, you know, or they're giving you things that are relative to what you've talked about or anything like that, that's a great sign. But if they're, just kind of doing generic things or really have nothing to do with what you've talked about, and they're also not putting effort into getting to know you, that's a love bomber for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You had a post that really stuck out to me, and I think so many of my listeners like need to plaster this onto their walls. So I'd love to chat about it a little. But the post, the front page said, instead of analyzing their behavior, ask yourself if you like it.
Yeah.
Profound. Yeah.
Thank you. No, I mean, I get you, as you know, like, I get a lot of messages too. Like, it's like, he did this, he texted that. Why is he on social media not texting me? Or like, or why didn't he plan it? It's like, stop asking why. Like, just ask yourself if this is, do you like being treated like this? Like, how do you feel right now? You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's really important to stop analyzing, because it's like, also the answers kind of don't matter. Like, if you knew why, it's just, do you like it? Yes or no?
Yeah. Do you like the way someone's treating you? Do you like how you feel with this person, when you're not with this person, between dates. Like, I think we spend so much time trying to create answers and find answers where we're thinking way too hard about it. And
yes,
I really just think like everything about dating has become so overcomplicated, and it could be simple.
Yeah. I think it's like, what will you even get out of having the answer? Like, what will that even give you? They're still treating you that way. Like, are you looking for a justification? Cause no, like, we don't need to justify behavior that makes you anxious. With the right person, you're going to feel calm. You're not going to feel the need to analyze their behavior either. Like, maybe some things here and there, but not like they're not going to trigger your anxiety like that. If your anxiety is really triggered, it's probably not the best match, you know, or you have to work on your anxiety, but like also might not be the best match.
Both. I mean, and yeah. I went through that so much, and I wish I could have removed myself from situations sooner when I could feel like things were very off.
Yeah. Right. Like, but yeah, I'm sure with Jake, like, you did not question things or his.
Not once. Yeah. Literally not once.
Yeah. Same with Johnny. Like, there were some things he said that were just like quirky. Like, huh? But, you know, or like, is this a joke? Is this him joking? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But nothing that like made me, like, kept me up at night, you know, or like took me out of my day. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's get into some listener questions. Somebody said, this goes back to what we were just talking about. Dating in texting. The guy that I'm seeing always plans dates but is a crappy texter. Is that a red flag or a deal breaker?
I think it's a red flag. So my move for this is on your next date, just be like, you're not a big texter, are you? Like, just kind of call them out gently in a playful way, and you can have a conversation about your texting behaviors. You're not saying, I need you to text me more at this point. You're kind of just talking. It's like, what to expect here with this guy? He might be like, yeah, I just don't like to be on my phone a lot. And that's not a red flag. It's just like, okay, you have to adjust. And let me tell you, but by the time you're in a relationship, it just does not matter anymore. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So I think the texting thing only matters in early dating.
I agree. And I love what you said. I did that once, probably like 5 years ago now, with somebody where they kept making plans. Every time I saw them, it was great. And then I would not hear from them in between other than to like make the next plan. And I think it was like our fourth date. I said to him, I'm like, are you just like a horrible texter, or like, do you not like me? Because I feel like you like me when we're together. And then in between, I feel like you hate me. And I'm a big texter. So like, what's going on? He was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. No, I'm like not a big texter, especially during the work week. But I definitely don't want you to think that I hate you, because that's not the case. Yeah. So I'll try and be a better texter. And I was like, no, like, don't change. But he did. And he became like a better texter overnight. And it was a really big wake up call for me in learning that it's okay to express my needs and to give somebody the opportunity to show up in the way that I need.
Exactly. Love that vulnerability. Probably not something you want to do on a second date.
No.
Like, but I think, yeah, 4 or 5 dates in, you can kind of like be like, so what's going on here? You know? Yeah, 100%.
Agreed. Okay. This one says, when is it a good idea to tell the guy that you're seeing non-exclusively about other guys that you're dating? I think this was like, when should I let somebody know that I'm going on dates with other people too?
Yeah, this is tough. So, okay, I multi-dated, right? And I know people will get on me about this, but I did not say anything to anyone about it unless they asked. For app dating, there's a general assumption that we're all talking to other people, right? Even if you're not, like, I just
assume
that.
There should be that assumption. Like, yeah. we should be assuming that.
Yeah. So I think it really becomes relevant when you sleep together. That's really the main time, in my opinion, when you should bring it up. If you are sleeping with other people, if you are talking to other people and you want to sleep with someone, like, you know, they might feel more comfortable if you are only focusing on that relationship. But I don't think you need to really bring it up necessarily. I guess you bring it up when you want to stop seeing other people and you only want to focus on them. Like, you don't have to just like throw it in there, because even if you're like this person, it's going to sting. Like, it's not a positive thing to share for no reason.
Yeah. Think about how, I guess, if you were on the other side of it, when would you want to know?
Yeah. Well, I think I didn't like I for me, I didn't care. I guess I just was like, you know, I would say for in my situation, like Johnny only was dating me and I still went on dates after we met and I stopped seeing other people, I think at our like seventh date. And then I told him, I'm like, okay, like I'm only seeing you now.
Agreed. All right. Somebody said, can you talk about accepting that you and your partner were not compatible post breakup? Additionally, would love your thoughts around societal norms for starting to date again after a relationship.
Oh yeah, I definitely can talk about this. I mean, I had a really, really hard time accepting this, that like with my situation that two well-adjusted, like great people just couldn't make it work. And because I grew up with the belief that like relationships are work and you can like figure it out, but not everyone can. And that's okay. Like you're not supposed to be able to make it work with anyone, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the best way to move through it is to take the lessons, figure out from that relationship what you want more of or less of in your next relationship, and take that lesson with you. And don't like have more self-compassion, basically. Like you didn't do anything wrong. Some people it just can't work. That's okay. Yeah. Doesn't mean you're bad people. And in terms of societal norms, I mean, like, I feel like society wants everyone to date and get married and have babies. And so it's like, I don't know what societal norms are against this or like what you're up against, but it might be a little in your head about it. Like I think people want, like people in your life who are the ones that matter, at least not strangers. They want to see you happy. So do what makes you happy.
What about when it comes to dating? Like if I've seen this happen where like dating history will come up and someone will find out, oh, well, they just got out of a serious relationship. Like maybe I shouldn't be dating them or maybe, I mean,
you can't control other people's reactions. Yeah. Some people might feel that way and some people won't. I think how you present it and how you talk about it is really important. So if you are looking for a relationship, you're going to have to shape your story to support that. Like, oh, I dated someone for 6 years and then, you know, I really healed and I've been in therapy and I'm like, I'm feeling really good about entering a new one like soon if I meet the right person.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what's out there and build an even better relationship. And,
yeah.
Yeah, open to possibilities.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, sure. And I think another thing about accepting that you weren't compatible, I think it's like realizing if you and this person couldn't make it work and weren't compatible long term, think about how much better it's going to be when you meet that person that you are compatible with long term. Like that is so cool and exciting that that person is still out there.
Yes, agree, 100%.
All right. We have a pretty specific scenario here. This one says, I've had 3 dates with a guy that I met on Hinge. The first date was so fun. We stayed out until 3 a.m. because we were getting on so well and couldn't stop talking and laughing. The second date was also amazing, and we spent the night together, admittedly both drunk. We texted consistently after that, but it was 10 days before our third date due to both of us having a lot going on with work and social life. Our third date was last night, and honestly, it was awful. We were both awkward. He told me that when we met, he had an early start the next day, but an hour into the date, he said he needed to leave by 10 p.m. and kept checking his watch. The conversation didn't flow, and I honestly felt like he didn't really want to be there. We kissed when we said goodbye, but I went home and cried because it had felt so different than the first 2 dates. He didn't text me after, so I texted him, and he's replying, but I've tried to make other plans to see each other again, and he just said he's not free that day but hasn't offered another time. Do I cut my losses? Do I try to see him again? Do I just be completely honest about how I'm feeling? The first 2 dates were incredible. We got along so well and seemed so aligned, so I don't know what happened this time.
Wow. Okay, that's a lot, and I definitely have been there, and yeah. I mean, I'm curious to hear what you think. Again, this isn't fact. This is just my opinion. I think that sex too early does throw off a potentially good connection because the physical intimacy and emotional connection are misaligned. And so you basically have rushed the physical intimacy, and then there's pressure to make the emotional connection catch up to that. And I think men especially do feel that pressure. And I think he was trying to be a nice guy by taking you out again, but I don't think that he wanted to continue.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I agree there are exceptions to that rule because I've seen
it happen. Yeah, no, it's not a rule. It's not a rule, but I think it's like a very standard situation.
I agree. Like they both need to be – or they. It's better if they're both like physical and emotional are aligned first. You know, we don't know. Maybe he met someone else in between that he's more excited about. Like maybe
– Or before.
Or before. Yeah, exactly. Like we have literally no idea what's going on. Maybe there's someone from his past who came back. Like I think – I think it goes back to what we were talking about before, kind of like accepting like, okay, this didn't work out and that's okay. And, you know, maybe next time if you think that part of it could be the fact that you slept together on the second date, then maybe next time don't do that. Just to, so that we could like rule that out as a possibility in the future. But listen, enjoy the fact that you had two amazing first dates. Like, that's awesome that you were able to connect with somebody like that. That's fun. And let, like, learn something from this, whatever direction it goes in. I wouldn't continue to ask him to hang out. If you want to express how you're feeling, I mean, go for it. But I don't think you need to. I don't think you're going to get either like an honest answer or be the answer that you're looking for. I think get back out there and find somebody even better.
Agree. And I think I'm a big believer in investing and testing. So like, if you had two great dates, it's like, that's not be like, okay, I'm cool. This is great. This is going to work out. Like test it more, right? Yeah. Have more dates to see if it's like consistent. Yeah. Yeah. 2 days is really early to make that call.
Agreed. Absolutely. Okay. Somebody asked, Talia, how will you bring your intentional dating style into marriage?
Oh, I love this question. I mean, okay, we have already found a couple therapists. One of my like non-negotiables was that we do premarital counseling before we get married. We both have divorced parents and I think I am terrified of like things falling apart, which is like something I'm learning about myself. Like I recently realized, I was like, wow, so much of my life is like a circle, it's like centered around avoiding divorce, like, which is kind of terrifying. So that's one thing we're doing, like intentionally. We are continuing to do a lot of things. Like we have relationship check-ins every other week, which have been amazing. Like, wow. We also schedule sex, which is like, again, we'll continue to do that, scheduling date nights. So we basically, the answer is carving out time. Is going to be really big for us. And also carving out time in the bigger picture of like vacations and time together, because we have a lot of friends. And I've recently learned, like since we moved to Mountain View, that we have to like have better boundaries around time for us, because our friends are just like part of everything. You know what I mean? So those are some ways I want to be intentional in marriage.
Yeah. I love that. I think when you think about it, like so many people just coast through and they're like, oh yeah, like I see them. And it's like, I had this problem even with my roommates where they were my best friends, but then we were kind of just roommates and we didn't make plans outside of the apartment because we made plans with other people. And they're like, oh, well, we'll see each other at home. But like me and Jake, like still make such an effort to prioritize like going out and like intentionally going and having date nights together, similar dates to what we did when we started dating, because what's the fun of just like sitting on the couch every night? Like, yeah, we do that a lot of nights, but that can't be every night. You know, we still want to make sure that we're doing special things for each other and keeping like all of those things that helped us like fall in love a part of our relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. No, I'm really excited to be married and I feel like it's like, oh, cool. Like I've read a lot of books about marriage and I've already been putting those things into place, but it's like even more now. I feel like it's weird, like being engaged, I already feel different. Like we're even more of a unit and team. Like this is like, he's even more my family, which is awesome.
I love that. I'm so happy for you and so excited for you.
Yeah. And I want everyone to find that. I want everyone to find that, you know, like it's out there. It exists.
It does. And it's worth going through all the ups and the downs of dating. Yeah. It's worth the pain and the heartbreak. It really makes you stronger and makes you who you are and brings you to this point.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. One last question. My favorite question to ask. What is the best piece of dating or relationship advice you've ever received?
So I think about this a lot, and I'm not sure if this is like advice, but just the word acceptance. Choosing to accept is very different than settling. Acceptance is a choice. So accepting things about your partner is just really, 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 really important. That is, I think, the best relationship advice I've ever gotten. It's like, if you can accept things, like you're going to be solid. Instead of trying to constantly fix, change, micromanage, all that stuff, that builds up resentment. And like, it's like, it is literally like a poison in your relationship. But the more you can accept the other person, the happier the relationship will be.
I love that. I love that as dating advice. I love that as friendship advice. I love that as self-reflection advice. I love it.
Yeah. So that's like, I think about that a lot and it has really helped me. It's like, people are like, well, it's not settling. It's like, no, it's not settling. It's accepting like that other, it's a whole other person, that they're not you. Like, you know, yeah.
Exactly. Talia, thank you so much for being here. Where can everybody find you? And guys, listen closely to this. Take out your phone, open Instagram, open Spotify and the podcast app. Like, please go follow Talia and check out her podcast and just like read every single post that she ever posts.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh my God. Thank you. Yes, come hang out with me on Instagram at dating.intentionally. And you can also find my podcast, Dating Intentionally, on any platform. So I would love to see you there.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. This is awesome.
Thanks for listening, daters. I hope today's episode made you feel just a little bit less alone out there, no matter what your status might be. Give your finger a break from swiping and hit that follow and review button instead. And if you have any burning questions or want to share your own dating horror stories, reach out to seeingotherpeoplepodcast@gmail.com. And in the meantime, keep on seeing other people.